Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Great question, 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hello, Eric.
What's up? How you doing, guys?
Hola.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
We appreciate that. Let's see here.
Yeah.
What do I got
What's up, Miles?
Do you got a garage?
I do. I'm actually going there right now to clean some stuff out.
Okay, some stuff. We just talking about garage and what some parents had down there. What do you store mainly in your garage?
Well, everything's legal in there right now. Okay. Like the compressor, you know, like some tools, car parts, workbench, a couple of Snap-on hot girl posters from a long time ago.
Nice.
Do you have any actual vehicles in the garage?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, sir,
is it a one car or two car garage?
Two.
And you still can't get your car in there?
Well, I could, but
you gotta clean, right?
I know. I talk to my mom about this all the time. She's got a two car garage, and you know, in the winter, West Virginia gets down to zero.
Yeah.
And then you know, her car has a hard time starting or whatever the deal is. I'm like, she has to warm her car up. I'm like, Mom, you can just move half the stuff over and pull that thing in for just a couple months out of the year.
Yeah.
I will help you next time I'm there. Well, I don't want to move anything yet.
Why not?
I don't know.
I mean, our garage
is about the mom.
Bitch is about the car being cold.
My thing, like, I don't think our vehicle has ever been in our garage. Maybe once, maybe. Otherwise, it is full of kids' crap. Because kids have all kinds of crap. My wife does reupholstery, so there's some yet-to-be-redone sofas piled up
big
in there.
Things, big
and then
things.
To his point, man, every tool. The worst part is I tried to be somewhat organized with the tools, and then you slack once, and it throws off everything.
Okay.
It's like, I need to find the frickin' drill. Why didn't I just put it back where the drill goes? This one time I did. And now it's like you start looking at the garage, and it seems more daunting. Like, I know it's somewhere in here. I don't even know where to begin.
Mike, you have your house does not have a garage.
I technically have a garage. I just don't do anything with it right now.
I mean, could you pull a car in there?
No, it's too small.
All right. Does it have a garage door?
It does have a garage door, yes.
What's your plan?
Is it for a golf cart?
I think it's just, it was made, the house was made like turn of the century. It's like a 1900 house.
All right.
So
cars.
So Model T can fit in there.
Yeah.
Narrow car.
It's very short. The flooring isn't exactly what I'd call stable. That's one of my projects that I have as far as this house.
What would you like to turn it into? Right. Like, you're not going to put your car in there, right? So you go, okay, we have this extra space. I'm a dude. So if you're like most dudes that I know that are in a relationship, 30% of the things that you really like are not displayed in your home.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to be able to put my car in there, but it might just turn out being storage for, you know, yard stuff and whatnot.
Yeah. It'll
just
sounds to me like you need to rebuild it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to pull a car in.
That's been tossed up as well, you know, putting some sort of a, like, apartment building that I can rent out there as well.
I mean, if you could redo the flooring, though, also, you just make it a fun little man cave or whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
I have a buddy, I think he's moved houses now, but he basically built like a tiny English pub in his garage.
Nice.
I could do that.
That is awesome. Ooh, do that then.
I could do that.
If you could do that, do that.
Block party.
I'm trying to think of people I know that actually use their garage for
a vehicle. Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, you're probably it.
Yeah, honestly. I'm just, like, everyone, if I go into the garage, like, a very good friend of mine, he has three vehicles. They're all in his driveway. And if you walk into his garage, he has the biggest screen you've ever seen. I mean, this thing is hooked up to the point.
So it's basically like the man family room.
It is the man family room. He loves like 80s music, right? So he goes out there and just cranks it because it's a detached garage. And it's a very cool room when they throw parties, man, because they have like the party light, the whole nine. And he doesn't skimp. These are not like lights you plug in. Like, you hit a button and all this crap goes on. But I mean, there's dance parties, people go in there and getting hammered. And then if we're not in there, the kids are in there playing video games on the biggest screen.
Wow.
But the idea of him putting his vehicle in is like, well, then what do I do with my toys? And I'm like, I respect that.
And I don't don't know why. There's just something fun, especially in the fall, about like the garage. It's got the TV. It's like, yeah. Like, all right, yeah.
It's a rainy day. You still can hang out outside.
Right. I'm just like, it's a little chilly, but like, I'd rather, let's go sit in the shop and watch it.
Yeah, man.
The fine folks at Southern Living, they posed this question. Do you use your garage to park your car or as a storage unit like the rest of us?
Storage unit.
Yes. According to them, if you live anywhere with heat, humidity, or cold winters, your garage is not a good place at all to store anything.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And here's why. They say moisture and temperature fluctuations will ruin your stuff over a long period of time. Bugs can get into sealed containers, and you have to worry about rodents and spiders. And then the climate control aspect of those spaces can be expensive. Typically, you're not going to heat or cool that area.
No.
But here is a list of 15 things that you should never store in your garage.
Uh-oh.
Do you guys want to take any guesses? We'll find out if you have this, Steve, in your garage.
I'm sure I do. There's some crap in there.
Yeah, I would assume just probably food and beverages.
You know what? Wine is on the list. So you're not supposed to store wine in your garage for whatever reason.
Really?
Yes.
Because my wife has like 6 or 7 cases in there from some party that mm-hmm. we somehow, I'm not a big wine drinker, that's why it's still there. But that's crazy because 9 times out of 10, they tell you, keep wine in what? Like a cool, dark place.
Yep.
The garage is that.
Firewood.
No.
Because firewood. Of what you're bringing into your home. So you're what you're bringing into the garage. Bugs, potential rodents, potential nests of things that haven't hatched yet.
You know? Oh, cool. Always my favorite.
All kinds of stuff that could be in there. Blankets and clothing, just based on the moisture aspect.
No.
You should not keep, and this blew my mind, cans of paint in the garage. So where do I put them?
Where else would you keep cans of paint?
I don't know. That's where I keep my cans of paint.
Propane tanks. Guess what I have? 2 in my garage. Where else am I supposed to put these things?
That I don't. But you don't really have a good outdoor space to put them.
Yeah.
I mean, not without it being a problem for you later, I suspect.
Important documents or paperwork?
No.
That's where I keep all of my old documents and paperwork.
Really?
In the garage. Absolutely. Everything we have from the show, it's in the garage.
Mine's in the basement.
Photographs. Big no-no.
No.
If you want to keep them for a long period of time. Guess what I have in my garage?
Photographs.
All my pictures. Uh-huh. Books on the list. All the books that I have in boxes in the garage.
In the garage?
Most of them.
All right.
I mean, the ones I've read. I'm kind of one of those guys.
Yeah, that's fair.
Any kind of electronic, any kind of artwork, which I have in my garage.
You have artwork in your garage?
I have pictures hung up everywhere in my garage.
Yeah.
All right. Stuffed animals, don't own those. Pillows, chemicals, and easily flammable items. All those things you should
have. It's probably supposed to be flammable.
That's what I was thinking. Like, all those things are things that I only know to keep in my garage.
Where else would you put them? If you have a gas lawnmower,
if I had a shed out back, maybe.
Yeah. Yes. If I had,
but it's still under the same weather.
It's still the same condition.
It's just not in my house to explode or whatever.
Well, the cans of paint or the flammable stuff. Like, where else should I put it? And to be fair, if it's that flammable, I'd rather be in the garage than in my home.
Yeah.
Right. It has that little firewall. I know the fire will eventually get through there, but I would rather keep a fire contained to my garage than say my living room.
Yeah.
Random.
Hello, Robbie. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up, guys?
Hola!
Robbie, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's see here. Robbie, let's go with this one. What is the hottest you have ever been in your life? Where was it just absolutely cooking?
Oh, man. I used to do cedar roof restoration. So I used to go up and pull all the old shakes out and replace them with new ones. And then we do oil stain on the roof to make it look all pretty, like out in Gig Harbor and stuff like that. But you get out there on a summer day, man, and the yellow jackets are chasing you around and there's no shade. And it's not a fun place to be in the summer.
Is it hotter underneath the sheathing in the attic?
Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah, it's hotter than you can imagine in the attic in the summer.
All right, okay. Based on your experience, is there anything that does not piss off a yellow jacket?
I don't think so, man. I think that they're awful little creatures, that's for sure.
Yeah, they see you and they want to kill
now,
you.
Now, when you're roofing, you have to wear jeans, correct?
I mean, the guy that I worked for, Dan, he was a pretty laid-back dude. But, I mean, you don't really want to go up there in shorts anyways, because a lot of times you got to kneel down, and you don't want to kneel down on cedar.
Have you ever almost fallen?
Yeah, I've caught a couple. So we call them sliders. You catch, you wear like cork logging boots, rubber boots, basically with spikes on the bottom of them. And every once in a while, you catch one of them shakes that aren't so attached to the sheeting anymore, and they'll slip out, and it'll make your butthole pucker a little bit.
So basically, you're doing a self rescue with your boots.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we'd have like a climbing harness and a rope, you know, attached to a tree on the backside of the house or something like that, so you don't fall. But I've seen some close calls.
I guess that would just pretty much depend on the slope of the roof.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes, you know, you can walk around up there, but a lot of those big houses out there in Gig Harbor and stuff, they are steep, steep, steep.
What? Because I don't know anything about Cedar Shake. What's the lifetime on those?
Oh, I mean, if you take care of them, you can make them last, you know, depending on the thickness of them. They don't really make them very thick anymore, you know, nothing as nice as it used to be. But, you know, you can make them last 30, 40 years if you oil them and wash them.
Okay,
damn. You know.
All right.
So the average person, 15 years. Like, yeah. Yes, if you do all of these maintenance things, yes, you can continue that. But that ain't going to happen.
I think the hottest, I had a layover in Dallas at one point in time, and it was 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a smoke, go outside to get a smoke. And I mean, when I walked out through those sliders, and keep in mind, I got to go through TSA. I had plenty of time, though.
Right.
My goal is I can have two cigarettes out here,
and get
go
back
in, go to the bar, eat, have plenty of time. I go outside. I choke down a half a cigarette. I put it out. I go back inside to the airport, go through TSA, go to the restaurant that I want to eat at. I sat down. I'm still sweating.
Yeah.
I was not hungry anymore. It was so hot that I did not feel like eating, just from that one experience.
But I think a lot
of it... Just outside for 5 minutes.
It's the humidity. Like, we were in Houston, and on this particular occasion, I got up to 107, fear of thunderstorms, blah, blah, blah. But I remember the guy on the news pops on, and this is Houston, Texas. It's hot, just as a fact, right? And he goes, because of the temperature and some other weird atmospheric thing going on, I don't remember. He goes, we had to create a new color on the warning system. So while code red is, quote unquote, as bad as something can be, he's like, it's worse than that, so it's code purple, which we've never done before. We don't know if we're going to do it again. But they had to come up with a color on the fly because you would think code red is as bad as it could be. And this guy had to explain, this is worse than anything that we anticipated with a code red. And I just thought, this is... And my aunt at the time was setting up chairs outside because she wanted an outdoor family reunion. We got lucky because we ended up with those thunderstorms, had to move it inside. So there's that, right? And you go like, this is ridiculous. This is hot. And that's when you realize where humidity comes in. Because all the years I worked in restaurants, you know, you're wearing long sleeves, long pants, all this crap, everything's burning, blah, blah, blah. They get like 115 degrees in the kitchen. And I'm like, why do we do this for a living, right? There are people that drop dead and feeding this because it's as hot. Now, granted, there's no humidity in the kitchen.
See, I think that's why macaroni salad, potato salad exists. You need something cold.
You need something cold. Something cold and hearty.
Well, generally in those hot areas, I mean, part of the reason people, like, I think it's Scottsdale always better looking. It's just when it's that hot, it's hard to eat.
It's hard to eat.
Heavy stuff. But I'm with you. I've been in some very humid, horrible places, right? Like Knoxville, Tennessee.
Ugh.
Austin, end of June last year, was pretty miserable. But also, I went to Vegas. It was 117. And my buddies were at the Encore pool.
Okay.
They kept insisting they were at the wind pool.
Oh, no.
And by the third, and that's a pretty big pool. But by the third time I walked around in it, like I am drenched in sweat. I could feel my sun getting, my body getting burned already. Like, me and my buddy had to stop and buy suntan lotion because I was like, this is too much.
Is that a different heat than Scottsdale? Vegas. Because they always say Scottsdale, it's like dry heat.
And usually dry heat's not as bad, but when you get to 120, there's not much you can do.
And when you're in Vegas, it's all concrete.
Correct. I mean, we.
So you can't escape it.
And there's no shade.
It was so hot. Right. But I will say, like, I mean, Austin, that humidity was so gross. I mean, even at the wedding I was at, I mean, there was plenty of beverages. But, like, at one point, like, you just had to start drinking water. You thought you were going to die.
Yeah, we're headed to, where the hell? Orlando. Next week, kids volleyball tournament, whatever. And when my wife first told me about this in, like, February. So we're going to Orlando in July. She goes, yeah. So I know it's going to be miserable. We already started looking at the weather. And it's like 94, which in my mind, it's bad, but it's not that bad. But I know damn well when I step off the plane,
it's going to be significantly worse than
I thought. So the one thing we did, I did ask kids if they wanted to go to Disney because they'd always wanted to go. And I'd always just flat out said no. And I just said, look, We're going to be in Orlando. So if you mofos want to go, like, this is your chance. Yep. They thought about it all day. They said no. But you know where we are going, Miles? And this was so...
Universal Studios.
Yes, but where specifically?
You're going to go see the gopher from the Caddyshack movie that I have a picture with.
We're going to the water park.
Oh.
That what we were like, look, if we're going there, we're going to the water park, man.
Yeah, they
I'm
actually,
not dealing
they
have, with that heat outdoors.
They have crazy rides. I will tell you that you're not going to want to hear this. This is going to make, it, like, I don't know about Universal. I know for Disney, that's like, outside of the week after Christmas, July 4th is the most crowded week.
I saw that when we looked at the prices. We had to coordinate with a couple other players from his team, like, fine. We'll meet you guys like early Sunday morning at this water park. I'm like, whatever, man. But we all the adults agreed, water park, yeah, because it's so hot. But my wife starts pulling up the prices, and I go, that's really not that bad. She goes, oh, wait, it's July 4th week. The price shot up exponentially for the same experience.
It's unbelievable. I've been to Disney World on July 4th, and I mean, it literally, they had to take us to like overflow standing to watch fireworks.
Jesus.
Also, just be ready. It'll thunderstorm every day.
Jesus.
Oh, I know. So we're actually...
every day.
Compared to the rest of the country, we're doing okay.
Oh, we're doing great.
The rest of the country's hot.
Jesus, man. Even in Lake Tahoe, they had a boat that got...
capsized, didn't it?
Yeah, 8-foot waves and a cold front
moved in. What?
That's Tahoe. So you got to think, you got to go south.
Wait, even, a cold front moved in?
Yes. You got to even go way south of San Francisco.
Wow.
To get any warmth on the West Coast. So there's, I mean, obviously Death Valley and stuff. But the National Weather Service, they put out an advisory warning people.
Stay inside.
Basically, yeah. But avoid heavy foods, meals high in protein, because they can raise your body temperature.
Oh, really?
I did not know that.
Okay.
They said you should avoid alcohol and coffee, even iced coffee. Because these drinks speed up dehydration. And you should also avoid leaving your children and pets in your vehicle.
Well,
particularly in the
Jesus,
sun.
Come on.
I know, but they have to remind people this every time. Use sunscreen, drink lots of water, sports drinks. This thing is going to hang around the East Coast and Midwest for a while.
Yeah, I'm flying into it.
And if you watched any of that Mariners-Cubs series over the weekend, people were dropping at Wrigley like flies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People were leaving that game early.
Yeah.
They play in the daytime almost every single game.
Didn't you say you know someone who left in the fifth inning?
I do.
Just because of the temperature.
By the way, guess what kind of seats they had? The equivalent of, what is that?
Or then the bleachers, the metal.
No, they're behind home plate. What are those
called? Really? Like Diamond Club?
These were big time seats, yes. But I don't think they have the same facilities underneath as we do here at T-Mobile.
Sure, sure.
So I think it's more of an antiquated version of that, just based on the age of the stadium.
I'm sure they still made them pretty. They'll fix up the VIP sections.
No air conditioning.
Well, that doesn't shock me.
So that
I mean, Wrigley is old.
That was the problem, was that you could go back there.
Yeah.
You could get your drinks. It was just sweltering hot.
Yeah.
And, like, all the people, like, the guys who worked the aisles, the vendors. I mean, apparently
just
there
miserable.
Were EMTs all over that stadium helping people who were absolutely dropping like flies.
Well, someone here says, hottest for me, Louisiana in September. Louisiana's thick. Yeah. And September and August are basically the same month. It is as humid as it's ever going to be, and the temperature spikes around 100. I'm telling you, man, in the year I lived there, one thing I figured out, it's like, man, there's so much crime there. And there is. Like, you know why? Because they're hot. And when people get hot, they get really irritated.
Same like, with Baltimore. Same with Baltimore.
When summer hits, crime goes to the roof, but everyone's just pissed.
Yeah.
Because it's not like property crime grows up. It's more, Ted and I have an argument in December. Maybe we throw a punch. Ted and I have the same argument in June. Somebody gets shot.
But your room is not cooling off till 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So even if you go to bed at 10, your room is hot until like the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And there's nothing you can do. We keep saying it with humidity. Like, I mean, that Knoxville trip, it was Labor Day weekend, might be the most miserable I've ever been. And even my buddy Bernie, you guys can test. Bernie loves drinking beer.
Yeah.
It was so hot. He's like, Teddy, I can't even drink one. And then
damn.
Like we were at. They
That's
had
like
these,
snake bite with the fart.
Exactly. They had these guys like running shuttles, and like they be, most other games, they're running beer out to people, and they were like, "Guys, we need water or ice?" Like, yeah, we'll take another case of water, another thing of ice.
Like, you know the hottest I've been. Now, I can't remember if you were with us, Miles, at Castle's wedding. All right, he gets married.
Oh God!
At a chapel in Vegas.
Oh my God!
And look, it's Vegas. It's Vegas hot. He gets married in July. It's exactly what you think. Now, we weren't the most coordinated group, but anyway, we leave the chapel. There's maybe eight of us, and, you know, it's Vegas, so people drive limos like they drive an Uber. Guy pulls over. Hey, man, you guys need a ride back to the Wind is where we're staying. We're like, absolutely. And the thing is, when we're standing out there, everyone's just dying because the heat's beating down. We get in this guy's limo. He takes off. That's when we realize, as he's, hey, I just want to let you guys know, my air conditioning's broken.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Dude,
oh,
it was like climbing into an oven. Seriously, man, we could not, and when you open the windows.
Nothing happened.
It just got warmer. One of our buddies, Batman, basically had heat stroke.
Yeah.
And a bag started getting undressed in the back of the limo.
The wedding's over. We're standing outside, we're waiting for these cars to come back and get us, right? So I'm looking down the road, this car comes pulling in. Jolene pops out.
After the wedding.
It's 10 minutes after the wedding. The wedding is done.
She is all dolled up. Yeah.
He and his wife, they have moved on in life.
My God.
Jesus, God.
There's this dusty road, like she pulls up, steps out of cowboy boots.
I'm here.
I'm here. Like, you missed the whole thing.
Pitiful service.
More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCKS.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Got another stop on the Men's Room World Tour announcement coming up at 4:30. Yes. Heading across the pond once again.
Across our version of the pond.
Pond for a little party. Men's Room style, the details coming up at 4:30, right after our random question. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Russ. Welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Liquor and whores. Russ, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. How did you really, really, really hurt yourself? What were you doing?
sorry, funny story here. I was up late one night smoking a brisket. And I decided to split some wood with a hatchet. I missed the wood and went straight across my hand. And this happened during COVID and tried to get into an emergency room during COVID.
So wait, where did you hit yourself with the hatchet?
Right in my hand instead of the wood.
So you're splitting wood for your smoker?
I was splitting wood for my smoker and missed the wood and right across my entire hand.
All right, so now, like you said, it's during COVID. You're trying to go to an emergency room during COVID. How long did you have to wait, given the nature of your injuries?
They made me wait outside for half an hour while they ran a couple tests. And my wife had to sit in the parking lot for 3.5 hours before it came back out.
So top of the hand or palm?
It went from index finger across to my wrist on my palm.
On your palm. Oh, God.
Jesus, dude.
So you're basically just holding this thing in your hand. And you cut all the way through into your hand?
The only part of the bone I hit was right at the top of my index finger by the knuckle. The rest of it went straight into the meat.
So safe to say you keep your hatchet sharp.
I was splitting wood,
Well, no, you were splitting hands, but the goal, the splitting wood. Hey, how did your brisket turn out?
The brisket actually turned out good, but I was definitely on team not sober that day.
Okay. All right. Okay. Team not sober. Good times. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, all right, you got to go to the emergency room, you got to wait 30 minutes. You got to wait another 3 hours for everything to be done. But honestly, if I'm smoking a brisket, that kind of works out.
Yeah.
All right, the brisket should be
okay. I'm buying lump charcoal next time. I'm doing it that way.
Yeah.
Not doing that. Reason we asked, how did you really hurt yourself? Older U.S. adults are increasingly dying. From? Any guesses?
I've seen this, so I won't say.
Unintentional falls.
Falling?
Going through the roof.
What is the increase in the... Right, because one thing about old people ever since I've been a little kid is, hey, man, they're more susceptible to fall. They had life alert, you know? I fall and I can't get up.
This is mostly white people.
Awesome.
That sounds like good news.
For Steve. Saying to me.
Oh, for Steve.
Yeah, what? That was very specific
Jesus,
to me.
Jesus, dude.
We still just die of diabetes right. and gunshots.
Yeah, but we're going to fall, apparently. And it accounts for the vast majority of the deaths. So from 2003, 20 years later, death rates rose from falls more than 70%.
the hell's going on?
For adults ages 65 to 74, according to a report from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the rate increased more than 75% for people 75 to 84, and double for seniors 85 and older.
Again, what is going on with white people?
Well, they did not try to answer why death rates from falls are increasing, but experts say there may be a few reasons, like gradually improving our understanding of the role falls play in deaths.
Ah, okay.
So more people living longer to ages when falls are more likely to have deadly consequences. So you could fall, have a problem,
right,
and pass away from that fall 2 or 3 years later.
So the heart attack is what dropped them, but it's the actual fall when they broke all these bones that killed them.
41,000 Americans died of falls last year.
Wow.
41,000 of retirement age Americans. The most recent year for which the stats were out. That suggests that falls were blamed in about one of every 50 deaths in older Americans. So more than half of those 41,000 deaths were people 85 or older. And the CDC found white people accounted for 87% of the deaths in the oldest category. But there is a white twist to this.
A white twist?
Ooh.
Yes.
Sounds like a TV show.
They're slipping on mayonnaise.
The white twist.
Yes.
You thought you were watching Jefferson.
Right.
Stay tuned for the special white twist.
Okay, so a number of factors can contribute to falls, including changes in hearing and vision, medications, all the stuff that can make you lightheaded, right? But death rates varied widely from state to state. And if you go someplace where it snows or has ice, you're going to slip and fall.
Minnesota.
I mean,
Michigan.
Minnesota's number two. Wisconsin is number one. Maine, Oklahoma, and Vermont.
So other than Oklahoma, that explains the white people
the
part.
The lowest state is Alabama. I think you can do the math on this.
All right? Okay. That kind of explains it.
Researchers also can't yet explain why white seniors die of falls at a higher rate than people in other racial and ethnic groups. But it's got to have a lot to do with it.
They just said it.
I know.
You're in Michigan and Wisconsin, and it's cold. Like, do the demographics,
older black people have the lowest fall-related death rate.
I ain't falling.
Well, you're also living in Texas.
Right, exactly. Everything's flat.
Or I mean, Florida, or whatever.
I expected that. Like, no, not going out like that.
I ain't going out like that. Mm-mm. God. I take my diabetes and go home.
See,
you.
Mine's the bathtub. You ever get one of those bathtubs that feels like it's kind of like the floor is more of a V?
It's rounded, yeah.
Than your flat-ass one?
Yes.
And, like, you get in, you kind of feel like you're always slipping towards the middle?
I know what you're talking about.
And there's, like, that slimy layer of crap on there. I mean, you feel like you just barely can scooch.
Have you ever stepped foot? I've done this once in my life. Well, had one occasion to a brand-new, unused shower.
Yes.
So I did not realize how slick those things are. We had just moved to Baltimore. I'm 14. And the first time I got in, I didn't completely fall out, but you hear, you know, the foot slips, where you can get your balance. And I remember telling my dad, I said, look, man, I've never been in a bathtub like this. This is like stepping on a 60-degree angle of ice. Like, it does not matter what you do, you can't not slip. So he said, all right, we'll get some of those ugly-ass rubber, like, flower things you stick down. You know?
Yep.
I'm like, all right, no worries. Well, they didn't get to it. The bathroom wall bordered my bedroom wall. About two mornings later, I hear my father getting ready for work. He's in the shower, and you just hear the... So he slipped out of the shower, naturally grabbed the shower curtain, because that's what you do.
Rip that down.
Absolutely tore down. Slipped out of the bathtub, slid the length of the vanity, and came to a stop when his head bashed into the bathroom door.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was effed up for like 2 weeks, man. And then, what do you know... We got those little ugly-ass rubber flower things that you stuck in there. There's nothing. I don't know if that's still the case or if the industry said, man, this is a bit slick, right? I was 14, and it's like I cannot physically stand in this bathtub. So you'd start the shower, and I'd get in like I'm taking a bath, and then slowly get to your feet. I've just never had that experience. But the whole time I lived there.
My mom, she's terrified of when my grandmother, 99, her twice-a-week shower. Because if she falls, my mom she can't pick her up. I mean, it's one of those situations. It's too tight in there. The position she falls, sometimes she just leans over and collapses. So it's not like she's falling like, you know what I mean? Like, she's falling face down, like into a small shower area. Just God almighty.
How often do you think about it?
All the time.
I thought about it briefly yesterday.
I think about it for me. I think about it for my mother. I think about it all the time.
I mean, especially if you have an older parent that lives alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the trip and falling thing was a massive thing with my mom, right? Like, her physical health is still very good.
But that does right.
But it was just like, she's going to trip eventually and fall in there.
We all do. The difference, mm-hmm. And the reason I thought about it was getting out of the shower Saturday, and my toe just clipped the end of the tub as I'm stepping out. I didn't even almost fall. Like, it just clipped. It kind of hurt. But then you start thinking, like, if I'm my father and I clip it the same way, like, he's going down, man.
That's why I put my socks on standing up. Every day.
Wait, what?
I put my socks on standing up every day.
Wait, you're standing up and put
it's
on
a balance exercise. I want to be able to be strong enough to be on one leg.
Yeah, but what happens when you fail that exercise? Then you take the fall that you're trying to avoid.
I'm taking the header.
I'm still going to sit down
but
and do it.
I'm practicing. I'm practicing.
That's what this is.
Yes.
Okay.
Just in case one foot slips out, bam, I got that other one.
You think any flamingo's ever just fallen over?
No.
Hurt itself. No. Right? They were standing on one foot.
I was going to say, it's not just falling and hurting yourself. A few years ago, and I'm real gentle getting out of the tub now. Like, you know, you have, like, one foot up on the tub, and you're drying off your leg or whatever. Like, as I went to get out, like, that foot slipped. And I, like, had a sore back for, like, a few days.
Didn't
like,
even hit anything.
No, I just, like, threw my back out, tried to adjust real quick so I didn't fall. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I didn't fall, but I still, so now I'm, like, super ginger getting out of the tub every time.
Because a bad back makes every balancing act a lot more difficult.
Yeah, it's like those old school claw tubs. Getting it out of those things sucks.
I can't believe more people didn't die back.
Well, if you fall, go back on your left and just completely rip that thing.
Right, just get rid of that shoulder.
Exactly. Just held it.
Be done with it. Hello, Solomon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hola.
Solomon, welcome to the program. Hola. Random question. Let's go with this one. In your lifetime or recently, what tourist trap have you visited?
Tourist trap?
Trap.
I mean, it's no.
You know when you're in it.
Like, I'm going to Universal Studios next week. I'm not kidding myself. I'm sure I'll have a fine time. It's not that, but I'm not mistaking this for anything other than what it is. Where you go to Pike Place Market and you say it's a tourist trap, and it's like, no, it's really not. It's an asset to the city, but if you're a tourist, it's absolutely worth visiting. As a Universal, no one from Orlando goes to Universal. Idiots like me end up in Universal.
Yeah.
I would probably have to say a water park in Texas.
Was it fun, though?
I was there with my daughter, so I there was supposed to be a lot of good rides, but there weren't. But it was fine because she was, for a 6-year-old girl, it was fine, and that's what I was really there for there anyway. So.
I'll tell you what, though,
don't you love being a parent where that's what you tell yourself? Like, I have spent countless hundreds of dollars. I have spent hours in this one place. Maybe I'm uncomfortable because of the top, but in the end, my kid's happy, so I'm going to be cool about it.
There was nothing more that fired me up than seeing a water park at the beach. I'm like, yes. When I was a kid, yes.
Can I comment on something you guys were talking about earlier in the week?
What's that?
Okay, remember you were talking about Chris Novoselic, how he threw his bass guitar up in the air and it hit him?
Yeah.
So if you ever want to watch somebody do that right, Prince playing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee ceremony awards, when he does this amazing 6-minute-long guitar solo, at the very end, he throws his guitar up, walks off the stage, and it never comes down.
You know what? That's a weird video. Because it's while my guitar gently weeps. And then you're right.
Yeah.
You do not see the guitar. And there's 55 people. Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, there's 900 guys up there.
So he talks. I love that. It doesn't even come down.
And every one of those guitarists is looking at Prince like, I can't do that.
I can't keep up with this guy.
This guy's good.
I can't do that. All the reasons we asked, what tourist trap have you most recently visited? When's the last time anybody here has been to the Needle?
I know definitively the year I got married because family was in town.
So 2007?
18 years ago. Yeah, honestly, man. I've been around it, cutting through there, but to physically go up into the Needle.
Seattle Center. I've been to the Center, sure.
The
Experience Music Project. I've been to...
I'm trying to remember if I actually went
Science Center
in the Needle with my family last year when they were out here around July 4th.
I know I've been there. I just have not physically been inside and gone to the
purpose. How much does it cost? Do we even know that much?
Nope.
I don't know right now.
Is it $25? I don't know either. I mean, I have no idea. What do you do when you get to the top?
You look around. And everything.
Now that he redid it, though, it's kind of fancy up there. You can get a beverage. You can hang out for a minute.
Okay. Beverage helps.
The glass floor.
Well, that's what the basis for the story was. Or the question. What tourist trap have you most recently visited?
What counts as a tourist trap?
So something like the Space Needle is designed specifically
for waterfront
tours. No, because that's the thing. So like the market in the waterfront. Obviously, the waterfront was redone with tourists in mind, but it is an asset to those of us that live in the city. With the Space Needle, nothing against it. We can take it or leave it. It has no impact on our quality of life. The market.
Yeah, if you want to see the city, go up the Columbia Tower.
Right. So I would say like Space Needle definitively. any museum, you're going to run through the locals quick. So tourists have to be the thing, Louvre, that keep your museum going. So stuff like that. Or
Hollywood Boulevard.
Hollywood Boulevard, absolutely.
Niagara Falls.
You know, beautiful, but everything they built around it. Like, you don't go to Niagara Falls and say, man, the nature's beautiful. It is. But the only place you see nature is if you're looking at the water.
Times Square. I guess, yeah. I was thinking more of, like, there's a lot of seafood restaurants. But a couple times a year, and I went last year with my family, then they say Mike and I did it in December when we had some time off for Christmas, is I'll go down to the Crab Pot and sit there.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if that's a tourist trap. It's like, it's a very, 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 very tourist-friendly restaurant and a spot where tourists are going to be. But even if you took out the cruise ships, I think it stays in business. Enough of us go down.
It is funny, but like I was talking to the bartender, and he's like, oh, yeah, you just don't get locals in here at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because people just think of it as just tourists.
Yep. Right. So
he only remembers me as I'm the only guy that brings my old bay.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that. So basically, with the renovations they did with the Space Needle, they wanted to do some stuff upstairs that I guess architecturally they could not do back in 19 and whatever the
60 something?
62, whatever it was. But either way, they also realized that they needed to do stuff just with the actual structure of the building.
Okay, yes,
so they put a one-of-a-kind Otis elevator in there. The only one, I believe, in the world. Also,
what makes it unique, or do they say?
Is that the one that's like all glass?
It is. And they're going to put like three or four more. So 1962 World Fair. So what is new? The new elevator created by Otis.
Otis Spunkmeyer.
That's exactly right. The Skyliner is a double-deck floor-to-ceiling glass elevator. Each cab fits about 20 people. Takes 41 seconds. The next double-decker elevator will be finished in 2027. The third in 2028. Now, when you reach the top, the old rotating restaurant is gone.
Okay.
Hopefully there's a bar up there. I do not know.
Last time I was up there, it had been redone with the glass stuff.
Didn't you say the restaurant itself had improved? Or?
I just know there's like areas where you can literally like grab a beer and like while you're walking around have a beer or a glass of wine.
Nice. All right.
But I want to say it's like the airport. Like, they don't want you hanging out up there. It's like a beer or two, then like, all right, you're done.
They added 200% more glass than there was originally. In their minds, they said we were adding 200% more view and more abilities to actually see and observe, which is the whole idea behind the building. So the Space Needle, by the way, stayed open through the entire redesign and construction. So at least they made it to the point where they could get this work done and people could still go up and check it out.
All right. Any guesses on the cost to ride to the top of the Space Needle?
A couple people checked in. I was going to say $25.
I think it's got to be more. $35.
Both of you have underbid. Mike, what do you think?
I'll go $40.
$40. It is currently $49 per person.
$50.
And my question is,
what's the Columbia Tower?
To go up to the top. You know, I walk by that thing every day. I have no idea.
Now, they don't have a bar up there or anything.
Well, there's a tower club.
Yeah, but that's a little lower, right?
No, it's really high up there. I mean, you're taller than anything else. I'll show you some pictures. Okay. But you got to know a member. So, like, I was lucky to be over there a couple weeks ago having dinner. But you forget how high it is.
Have you been to the top of the Smith Tower Bar when that was open for a while?
No.
That was badass, too.
It's rare that I get to flex on that one, but I had that one sitting in the whole
thing. What do they have for appetizers?
Appetizers? They have a full restaurant up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
For private people.
Yeah.
It's a private club. It's a club.
It's like the Elks and the Moose or something.
Yeah. Might be a little more than that.
A little more than that, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Would you rather go up Columbia Tower or Space Needle, right? You visit a city, never been to Seattle.
Space Needle, without question.
And that's what's funny about it, because you're going to get a better view from the Columbia Tower. But I'm telling you, 99% of people would say, I'll take half the height.
I think the Space Needle is a better experience.
The needle itself or the stuff it's
trying. Granted, the top of the Columbia Tower, last time I was there, I walked the steps.
Well, that's stupid, yes.
Like a fireman thing. So that was not fun. But I mean, when I got up there, I was like, this is cool. Let's get out.
I want to go home.
I just honestly don't hang out too much. I've only been up there twice in my life, right?
Columbia?
Yeah. Somebody we used to work with, their brother had a membership, so we got to go up there. But going up there again, the last time I was up there, I just forget how high it is. I mean, you're looking down on basically every other building. And then it's also trippy because, like, it's weird to see helicopters getting up to you.
Yeah, when you see the top of a helicopter, it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's weird. last time that we flew in, or I flew into town, we had this route right here that we see all the planes.
Over five, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I have a right window seat.
All right.
I can see our building. You can see the beehives on top of our building from the planes that come in right here.
Oh, really?
It's the only two boxes up there. They're like right on the corner. And I'm like, I know exactly what the hell that is. I've seen the pictures of it. That's a beehive. But you can see them from like, you know, what is it, a half mile away probably?
I've never noticed them before.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my eyes peeled.
Let's see here. Your guess is as good as mine. Count up the categories, cars and hot sauce, and emails count up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.